Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Milestones here at Car Talk Plaza. And my brother will begin to explain.
We did pass a very major milestone this week, and it was really very painful, I understand. No, actually, it wasn't that kind of a milestone. We have to explain a little bit. We drive these test cars. Like, we call them test cars. What are they really?
They're provided to us by the manufacturers like GM, Chrysler.
Right, in the hope that we might find something good to say about them, which hardly ever happens. But once in a while, we do. But we have these cars that we drive. And naturally, I have to drive it, and my brother has to drive it, and Berman has to drive it.
Why he has to drive them, we don't know.
We don't know why.
He's somehow in the loop. We can't get him out.
He's in the loop. So at some point, we have to, like, there were three cars that we will have for a couple of weeks or a week or whatever it is. So I'll drive it for a few days, and I'll give it to my brother. I'll swap with my brother. My brother swaps with Doug, and we swap back and forth. And the whole plan, over all these years, and we've been doing this for a dozen years or so, the whole plan is to get the, when we get the cars, they come with, of all things, a full tank of gas. So the idea is that you drive the car as much as possible so that when you swap it with the next guy, it's got no gas in it.
Even if it means leaving it idling in front of your house all night.
And, of course, everyone is trying to do this, and we're always trying to see who can give it to the next guy with the least amount of gas.
So last week after the show, Dougie says to me, would you like to swap cars? And I say, sure, Doug, what have you got? He says, I have a RAV4.
Mm-hmm. Is there any gas in it? That's always the question.
Any gas? Mm-hmm. And he says, of course there's gas in it. So
I should mention that some cars that you get will actually, with the little computer thing they have, will tell you how many miles to go before empty. And usually, you know, it says 360 or some such number. And we have actually got it down to, like, I remember once it was a Lincoln that Dougie gave to you, and it said 1.
Yes, and it was flashing.
It was flashing. Lights were flashing. And luckily, there was a gas station 0.8 miles away. And evidently, you coasted in there. And that was good.
Well, on this given day, he gives me the keys to this car. I give him the keys to the Avalon that I'm driving. He runs to the car, jumps in without even putting on his seatbelt, with papers flying in the wind. He zooms away.
Yeah, you know that you're in trouble when he does that.
I get in the car, and the gas needle doesn't move. The low fuel light is on, and I'm banging the dashboard, figuring it couldn't be this bad.
Right.
Knowing there's a gas station just about a half a mile away, I begin my journey to the gas station.
Yeah, and it's downhill to that gas station.
For the most part, except the little ramp that leads up to where the pumps are.
Yeah.
I didn't make it. As I approach the ramp, I have to stop for a car coming out of a side street.
Oh, that's what
I re-engage the clutch. It stalls. I figure, I stalled it. Mm-hmm. I go to start it. It won't start.
No. They don't start without gas.
It's tough. The guys from the gas station, push me in.
So this is the very first time in 12 years or so that someone has actually run out of gas. And I think it's a time to end this little game.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, no. I mean, we've reached.
No. Trust me. I'll let you know when it's about to end.
I have to say that it took great courage on Doug's part. Because don't forget, in order for him to give it to you, with so little gas in it that you couldn't go another half mile, he had to get here with fumes.
I understand.
It took tremendous amount of courage.
At great personal risk.
At great
he
personal
pulled this
risk.
Off.
Well, it wasn't really a lot of risk because he just left it running in the garage.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Larry. I'm calling you from the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Are you driving? Or what are you doing?
I'm at a rest stop right now.
Great.
Here's the story.
Yeah.
Got a Lincoln Town Car stretch limo, 1988, about 106,000 miles on it.
Okay.
And it died on the road.
Oh, right there on the Pennsylvania Turnpike it died?
No, it's actually up in New Jersey. It's parked at my brother's house right now.
Oh,
had it towed over to my brother's house.
Ah.
I'm trying to figure out whether it's worth putting the money in to repair it. I bought it on eBay. I bought it for $3,700 on eBay. And my thinking was, when it really breaks down, I'll walk away from it.
How well, long, eBay has allowed more people to get rid of broken down junk.
How long have you had the thing?
Just like 10 months.
Oh, it lasted 10 months.
Yeah.
So what happened to it? Why is it broken down at your brother's house?
Well, we were driving along. We were just leaving my brother's house, and it felt like it had no power at all, almost as if it was stuck in first or second gear. We were like, okay, let's turn it around and drive to my brother's house. Literally, as we were turning it around, it just coughed and died on the road.
So you turn the key now, it goes wah, 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 but it won't fire up.
It'll turn over a little bit, and it sounds kind of deep and throaty.
Does it go, or does it go? This is important. Think carefully before you answer.
Da, 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 da,
da, da, da, da, da, da, da, da, da.
It'll go more the former, I think.
Yeah, okay. That's what I would suspect.
And then when it turns over, if it turns over, you know, there might be a couple of, you know, kind of clanking noises, and then it kind of gives a throaty cough and then dies again.
I know, the clanking noises gave it away.
What? Clanking noises?
Yeah.
That's good, because prior to that, I was going to say, there are about 100 things it could be.
We've narrowed it down to 97. Get your pencil out,
I was going to give you the list of the 100 things.
No, I'm going to tell you exactly what it is, and this car is a candidate, I think. I think it needs a timing chain.
Exactly. That would explain everything.
Really?
Yeah. It would explain the rapid drop-off in power, and then the eventual...
It jumped timing.
Complete loss of power and inability to start. And it would explain the clanking. It would explain everything.
You've probably heard everyone talk about timing belts.
Mm-hmm.
But this monster has a timing chain, which is the old technology. So I would say, what was the question? Should you spend any money on it?
Yes.
Yes.
It's actually a retired limo from the Russian embassy in Washington, D.C.
No kidding.
Oh, so it's got... Oh.
Oh, you... Oh,
Andrei Gromyko might have ridden in this. Are you kidding me?
No.
Andrei Gromyko might have been driven around.
And don't forget, no matter where you are, the CIA knows where you are.
Exactly.
There's wires I can't identify in the car.
And peek off and drop off will be at your house tonight.
This is great.
Oh, you got to fix it, Larry. I didn't realize that it had such a profound and storied past here. You can't just let this thing go to the crusher.
Yeah.
You have an obligation as an American. So
I would say spend a few hundred bucks, get the timing chain, and wait for the next thing to break. Does it run pretty well? Before this, it had plenty of power, right?
Yeah, adequate. I mean, it's no sports car.
No.
But it's got a 5-liter engine in it.
Yeah, and don't forget, it weighs about 10,000 pounds.
And Andrei Gromyko's in the trunk.
Hey, thanks for calling, Larry.
Thank you.
Good luck.
See you later.
Take care.
Wow.
Wow. Stretch limo. What would you have always wanted, huh?
A Russian embassy.
How else would you sell something on eBay? 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Savannah from Warwick.
Savannah?
Savannah.
Is there an H on the end of it?
Yes, there is.
From Warwick?
Warwick, Mass.
Oh?
Where the hell is that?
It's on the Vermont-Hampshire border.
Gee, I was about to say Warwick, Rhode Island, and
no.
I was about
the,
to say...
It's on the Vermont-New Hampshire border, so how does he get to be in Massachusetts?
I don't know.
It's right there. Is there a place where New Hampshire, Vermont, and Massachusetts meet?
Of course, a confluence of continents here.
It's kind of the center of the universe, you know?
We know that, yes.
Wow. In any event, Savannah.
Yes.
What's up?
I have an 87 Plymouth Sundance, and I'm an art student, so I'm, like, really eccentric anyway, and I want to paint, like, big sunbursts on it and big flowers and paint poetry. And I want to use that, like, as a guide or a template to glue the rhinestones on. So eventually every square centimeter of this car is going to be glittering. I think this is a fabulous idea, you know.
I knew you would.
we had a guy that worked for us many years ago, a guy by the name of Jerome. And he had an old jalopy that had a Landau roof. No, it was a complete vinyl roof.
No.
And I say had because over the years, the sun and the elements had taken their toll on this thing, and it was all cracked and chipped. Yeah. So one day, when we were all finished with work, Jerry's out in the parking lot, and he is stripping this off with a hatchet or something. I don't know, but he removes it, and I said, gee, what are you going to do now? It's really, not only is it really ugly, maybe even uglier than it was before you started, but you have bare metal roof exposed. He said, not to worry. You'll see tomorrow.
Right.
Oh, no.
So he drove to Revere Beach that night.
He did. And got himself many hundreds of pounds of sand, which he carefully sifted to get out the cigarette butts and the bottles and the beer cans and all the other stuff that might be in there. And then he applied a uniform layer of epoxy cement
to
the roof of the car.
And applied the sand while standing on the roof.
Did he fall through?
It was beautiful.
Oh, it was.
Well, I've heard of something even better. Someone glued grass seed on it and had the grass growing off their car.
No kidding.
What do they call those little plants?
Yeah, chia.
Chia roof.
Yeah.
The only trouble that Jerry had was his gas mileage went from 10 miles to the gallon down to about 4.
So what's your question anyway? I mean, I don't, you know, we're having a lot of fun here, but we have no idea what your question is.
Who says she has to have a question? She's just informing us.
Oh, you have a question.
I do. I'm wondering what kind of paint to use, because I tried just using regular acrylic, and I had this big red flower on the hood of my car, and I'm driving down Route 91.
And it blew away.
Well, better than that. A big strip of the yellow, so this yellow disc is flying through the air, and it hit a car behind me.
Oh, it stripped right off.
Yeah, it's like ripped, and it's all chipping and stuff. And I want to do this, and even though it's going to look strange, I don't want it to look shabby. I want it to look like a car art.
Well,
you know?
I don't think there's anything wrong with the paint that you use. I think, as in all cases, we professional painters know that whenever there is a paint problem, it is not with the application of the paint,
but with the substrate.
The preparation.
Right.
It's what?
Preparation.
Oh, preparation.
Of the surface.
Right, otherwise known as the substrate, the bottom layer.
So what did you do to the car before you painted? Did you just, like, hose it down?
You brushed the dirt off with your sleeve, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why.
Well, you know, it, like, comes over me, and, like, verses will come to me, and I have to run out and write them on my car.
Yeah.
And, you know, but not only that, I want to know what kind of adhesive, because I want to be able to, like, put it on and not have to worry about driving 65 on Route 91 and having everything fall off.
No, for one thing, it gets expensive losing those rhinestones.
Well, it is, you know.
So sure. you want to glue the rhinestones on with adhesive.
Yeah, but what kind?
But the paint first.
Well, the paint, you can probably use any paint as long as you get the surface clean.
Right.
Which means removing wax, and you probably have to use some kind of a solvent on it to remove whatever wax and anything else that might be in dirt or grease that may be on there.
And that's not going to be easy to do. I would probably use rubbing compound.
Well, what about, like, I've heard rubbing alcohol.
You could use rubbing alcohol, perhaps, if that would be the cheaper thing, something that's readily available to you.
Yeah.
Or you could go to an auto body shop and ask them for some solvent.
Solvent.
Okay.
Okay.
Tell them what you want to do. When they stop laughing, ask them if they have any solvent that you can buy from them. Then, once you
prepare the surface,
then you can put
anything.
Sure, you can put latex, acrylic, oils.
Okay.
Anything. Now, to go back to your other thing, how to glue this stuff on, I would probably use rubber cement.
Yeah, but that, after a while,
rubber cement?
Apart.
Gee, I don't know. It's pretty stuff. Pretty tough stuff.
What's wrong with super glue?
Believe me, I have fake nails, and it's basically the same stuff, and they pop off.
Yeah, super glue's no good.
Yeah.
Rubber cement is good, and we know that Jerry used the epoxy for his roof.
Epoxy's good.
Yeah, would expensive.
What about, like, decal, like, sort of that, I don't know, it's adhesive for decals that you put on the car?
Spit, that's what we always use.
Decals.
I mean, don't forget, these, how big are these rhinestones, like 2 or 3 carats a piece?
2 or 3 rhubarbs.
Oh, my God.
I think the safest bet would be epoxy.
Epoxy, okay.
See, however,
you've got to do some tests. I mean, weather strip adhesive, which is what they use on cars to glue things on, like weather stripping et al.
Weather strip?
Yeah, weather strip adhesive is a rubber cement.
Oh.
And you know how to use rubber cement? You've got to put it on both surfaces and let it dry, and then you slam them together.
You're clearly going to have to do a little experimentation, because I'm not sure that the rubber cement with the rhinestones is going to be strong enough.
Well, that's the thing, and what I was wondering is, even if that's not Hey.
How do we get ourselves involved in this?
Julia, two reasonably intelligent people talking to Savannah about gluing rhinestones to her car. How did you get us into this? I have to say one thing, though. There is a little safety issue involved here, because when you have an entire car covered in rhinestones, is it not going to be a little bit reflective?
Well, I've already gone through that in my mind. I'm going to use such small ones that it's going to glitter rather than shine, because I've seen people who have put mirrors on their car, and that really is a hazard.
Well,
I don't want to be blind.
Have you considered sequins?
Sequins, they fade.
Too tacky.
That's what I thought. Good luck, Savannah, and don't get hurt, whatever you do. Thanks for your call.
Oh, thank you very much.
Woohoo!
All right, Tommy, I'm not going to ask you if you remember last week's puzzle. Instead, I'm going to ask you a much easier question.
Yeah.
Compare and contrast the economic policies of King George III and King Louis XV paying special attention to physiocracy as a reaction to 17th century mercantilism.
Does it have to be in pen or pencil?
Start working on it. We'll be back in a minute.
Anyone who drives should have some knowledge of the natural laws of motion. Hey, buddy, do you know the force that helps you go and turn in any direction? It's a thing. And when you're on the move, yeah, really in a groove, what keeps you going on your course? Of course, centrifugal force.
And even though Nepalese yaks leave a deposit on the nearest shortwave radio whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and killing time at work.
Mm.
Now, our regular listener knows that the Puzzler has been AWOL for several weeks now.
Our regular listener? We only have one listener now? We had six.
We may be down
to one.
To none. We don't know. But should you find yourself in urgent need of a Puzzler, if you suddenly turn to the person next to you and say, whoa, I got to take a Puzzler. Here's what you can do. Just go to cartalk.com, and we'll provide you with a Car Talk Puzzler from the archives.
Ooh.
And if we're feeling generous, we'll throw in the answer, too. So if you're desperate, you're lonely, you have nothing to do, and no one at work will talk to you.
Yeah, this is the thing to do.
Visit cartalk.com and get yourself a Puzzler. It will cheer you up. In the meantime, if you want to call us, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, this is Damien from Eugene, Oregon.
Davey?
Damien.
Oh, Damien.
Damien.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Damien, like the famous saints Cosmo and Damien.
Yeah, just like him.
Just
kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of. You sound like a saintly kind of guy, Damien.
Oh, bless you. Well, on a good day.
On a good day. What can we do for you?
Okay, so I own a 96 Subaru Outback.
Mm-hmm.
And I am absolutely stumped as to what this problem is.
Yeah.
So, first thing in the morning, I take my kids up to the daycare. The daycare is at the top of the hill. It's about 1 mile from my house.
Are you Dutch?
I'm actually English, but that's close enough.
English?
Yeah.
You are not.
I am too. I think I am. Last time I checked, I am.
You don't have any English accent, but you have a Dutch accent.
Well, I think
it's the Dutch East Indies.
Dutch East.
I think if you live on the West Coast for 10 years and then put that with an English accent, you come up with Dutch.
Wow, that's very interesting. Sure, because the accent you end up with is a function of where you started and where you end up.
Back in New York, I know they used to call it a mid-Atlantic accent.
Wow. Okay.
Well, so, even though we think you're an imposter, we'll talk to you anyway. But your accent is sounding more British as we go along.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a 96 Outback, and what's it doing?
Okay, so I schlepped the two kids into the car, and take them up the hill. And
it's a mile up the hill.
1 mile. Okay. Now, one to two times out of our five trips up that hill each week, the car, about three-quarters of the way up, will start to splutter, and the engine will start to feel like it's almost like it's choking, like a ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And as that happens, we all kind of have a giggle, and we have our favorite place to pull off to. I pull the car off to the side, I turn the engine off, and sit there for 30 seconds, fire the engine back up, it'll start up just fine, it will feel like it's clear, and then we'll take off and we'll make it to the daycare. Now, I have one small piece that might be able to factor some answer into
this. Oh, yeah, we may need more than one piece.
I've noticed if I let my car sit longer and run the engine in the morning,
it doesn't.
If I let it run longer, it seems to make it up the hill.
Yeah. See, I hate to ask a question that I don't know the answer to.
Okay.
Every good lawyer knows that rule, you know, that you never ask a question unless you already know the answer. But I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
Is it likely to be worse on damp days?
I want to say yes, but it's not.
Well, you want to say yes? Or what?
No.
What would it take to...
He thinks you want the answer yes, but it's not true.
It's not true.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that's all
Since
right.
Since you were so helpful with that answer, how about this? has the check engine light ever come on when this car's misbehaved?
Yes, it has.
Oh.
And I've taken it in.
Yeah.
And their feedback was that it was related, that they believe I need a new ignition. Is it the sparking plug?
Coil.
No, not a coil. He said that I need to replace the lines.
Oh, the cables.
Yeah, the cables on the plug.
Well, you could, and that's why I asked if it were a wet weather phenomenon, because...
And I think that's what his call... But this is the
I don't
only...
like it.
Well, wait a minute. Early in the morning, there is dew.
But, okay, sorry.
There is dew on the wires. There is dampness.
Dew. There's dew on your idea.
No, come on.
No, I think both...
Aren't we supposed to be partners? Jeez.
I don't like it.
I do.
I don't like it.
Well, I will only tell you, Damien.
And you're saying that if he lets the engine warm up for this extra couple of minutes...
It dries up the dew. Yep. I'm going with it. And I'll tell you, here's all I have to go on, because I have no support from my brother. My vast experience with Subarus. That they have problems with bad spark plug wires, and your car is the right age.
Yeah.
And they also have problems with coils that fail.
All right, hold it. Before you get too enamored, why does this so-called dew phenomenon take three-quarters of the way up the hill to exhibit itself? And why in 30 seconds is the dew phenomenon gone? He stops for 30 seconds, starts the car, and
did you ever read my dissertation on dew dissipation?
Yeah. Well, I have read some doo-doo that you've written, but... No.
No, I mean...
I'm going to just toss out an idea, and you make an argument for it. If you had to choose between your bogus wire idea and a faulty temp sensor.
Oh, well.
What would you choose?
I'm sticking with my bogus
You're
wire.
Crazy.
I'll tell you, because the temp sensors never go in the Subarus. And I would do the wires. They're going to cost you like $35 or $40 if you buy them at the dealer. Put them on. If it doesn't solve the problem, then have the coil replaced. You can do that yourself, too.
Great.
It's one of those two things. I guarantee it, Damien.
Money in the bank.
There you go. See you later, brother.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
He's Dutch. He's in the witness protection
Absolutely.
Program. He's not fooling us.
Yeah, but he sounds like a nice guy.
He does. I'm glad he escaped from whatever prison he escaped from.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Yeah, hello, this is Andrew from New Orleans.
Hi, Andrew.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Listen, before I get into my problem, I want to say something.
Uh-oh.
That was the most brilliant.
Yeah.
Ingenious.
Yeah.
Piece of bamboozling.
You're going to admit it probably fooled most of the people. I mean, didn't it sound good?
Yeah, you guys are great. Listen, I got a 1991 Maxima.
Well, I gotta write that down. Bamboozle.
Was brilliant, ingenious piece of bamboozling.
Yeah, I like it.
I thought only Baptist preachers could do that. I've been a Baptist preacher for 23 years.
So you know a little bit about bamboozling then.
Yeah, I know a lot about bamboozling.
So you were saying you have a 91 what?
91 Maxima.
Uh-huh.
In the mornings, when it's cold, I have trouble going from, not trouble, but it has a slight bit of a, it has a rough shift from first to second.
It's an automatic.
It's an automatic.
Okay.
But if I run it for about 15 minutes, it goes away.
Smooth as silk.
Now, how long has this been going on?
Oh, three and a half years.
6 years.
6 years, and you win the prize.
Really, it's been going on for 6 years. But now it's getting a little bit worse when it downshifts. When it goes from, say, third to second, and from second to first, I can feel a little rough. Not a clacking, not a clanging, but it's a surge. You know
right,
what I'm
it's,
saying?
An, it's like a harsh,
yeah,
like a little kick in the pants kind
right,
of.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And you have a ton of miles on this vehicle?
No. 136,000.
It's a ton.
That ain't bad for a Nissan. I change it about every 3,500, 4,000 miles of oil.
Yeah. Have you ever changed
Never had
the
any transmission deals done to it though?
You haven't. Have you ever changed the transmission oil?
Never.
Never.
Well, there you go.
I would.
Hey, let me ask you this: is there any kind of vacuum that builds up in these transmissions that would cause it to run smoother after you run for a while? Because I tell you the truth, even in the mornings. If I get down on it, I mean really heavy, get down on it, it'll shift smooth.
Are you attempting to come up with some kind of brilliant, ingenious piece of bamboozling like my brother did?
No, that's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I'm going to give you all the particulars so y'all can come up with a good bamboozle job.
No, it
doesn't have anything to do with how you step on the gas.
Well, no. It may. I mean, I'm getting into uncharted water here.
Yeah.
What you have in the transmission is a sticky valve, and I think you are a prime candidate, Andrew, for one or more of the many transmission additives which are on the market.
Okay.
Go and have the fluid and the filter changed.
Oh.
All right.
I think Slick 50 makes an additive for automatic transmissions.
Okay.
If Slick 50 doesn't work, try Slick 40. But one of those things may work. I mean, but in the long run, I think you're looking at eventually having a transmission rebuild. But
it may be
a long, long way off, Andrew.
Okay.
I wouldn't be too worried about
it. Yeah, I mean,
right.
This is not a serious thing. I mean, a little hitch in the
shifting. Hey, man, the car runs great. I'm telling you the truth.
Sure.
That's the only problem with it. And I've been dealing with it for 6 years, not worrying about it. I ain't going to worry about it now. I really called to talk to you because I think you guys are great.
Thanks, Andrew.
And you know, right. As a preacher, that everything is not perfect, right? And so
right.
You can
that's
learn
right.
to live with imperfection.
As a matter of fact, my kind of preaching, there ain't nothing perfect.
Is anything all right?
Thanks for your call.
Thanks for your call.
See you.
Bye. I want to live in New Orleans. I want to be able to bump into guys like Andrew.
He's a great guy, you can tell. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Maxine from Davis, California.
Hi, Maxine.
Maxine Davis.
Well,
yeah.
Maxine is a name that you don't hear much.
No, you don't.
No.
No. Maxine.
The most famous Maxine that I know of was the Maxine of Maxine Laverne and...
The Andrews sisters.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, the Andrews sisters.
Yeah.
Maxine, Laverne, and Fred. Oh, I don't know the third one. Who was the third one?
So are you a college professor there in Davis?
No, I'm not. I'm a school teacher, though. I teach art.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Art teacher.
I have a 98 Honda CRV, and I took it in for a checkup, and they put windshield wiper fluid in my brake line.
That was dope.
This was the dealership?
Yeah. I didn't find out for a couple days. I drove it, and I got a tremendous vibration in my steering wheel. So I took it back in, and, you know, they asked me if I had put any fluid in the brake. Yeah, they said, have you put windshield wiper fluid in it? And I said, no. And ultimately, they replaced my front brakes. Now, my question is, should they have, they didn't do the rear. Should they have done the rear?
Well, let's go back.
Yeah. Did they admit that they had put the windshield washer fluid in there?
Not really.
They never did.
No, they said they didn't know how it got in there.
Oh yeah, no, it's on page one of the auto repairer's handbook.
Never
admit to anything, no matter how damning the evidence.
Right, but the clue is when they replaced your brakes, did they charge you for it?
No.
That's it. That says guilty.
But
I don't understand why it was vibrating.
No, it's unrelated.
Really?
Well, here's the deal. The stuff they put in the washer fluid is mostly water.
Yeah.
Soap. I think water, alcohol, and soap.
Yeah.
The alcohol and the brake fluid are miscible. They'll mix together. The soap probably wouldn't hurt anything, and the water, if depending on how much they added, might just get absorbed by the brake fluid.
So you mean I got new brakes for nothing?
You got new brakes for...
It wouldn't cause... If there were enough water in there, it could have caused you to lose your brakes because the stuff would have boiled.
Right. Oh. And when you say that you got the vibration...
It was so bad that I had really difficulty holding on to the steering
but
wheel.
But was it vibrating even when you were not stepping on the brakes?
No, I was on the freeway when this occurred.
So you were not stepping on the brakes?
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, these two things are completely unrelated.
They just did it out of a guilty conscience.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's very strange. I mean, it's very suspicious. Something else is happening here that we don't understand.
They replaced left and right calipers, master cylinder, and flushed the brake fluid.
That's what they did.
Calipers?
Yeah.
You know how much that costs?
Yeah, they told me it was a lot.
Something else is going on.
Well, how do you know it was washer fluid? Did they tell you that?
Yeah, they said that it was a different color. There was like a some kind of bluish tint or something in the.
you know what I think they put in there?
What?
Power steering fluid.
Oh.
Because that has a bluish tinge to it.
Yeah.
So maybe, and that's the case. I think you should ask them to replace your rear wheel cylinders. I think this car I know this thing has drum brakes in the back, and it has wheel cylinders. That's the only other hydraulic part that they didn't replace. And I think you should ask them to do that too.
Oh, okay.
But ask them what was actually causing the vibration, because the calipers, unless they were seized,
they told me they were locking up.
Well, maybe they were. And if that was the case, it wasn't washer fluid that was added. It was something that really contaminated the brake fluid. And I don't think washer fluid would do that. And if it really contaminated the brake fluid in the front brakes, then it also has contaminated the brake fluid going to the back brakes, and that's why they should replace the rear cylinders.
Now, you know, does this happen very often? Do they screw up like
We do it like once a week.
Okay.
You know, it's not that often.
No, I mean, this almost never happens. I mean, this is outrageous, actually.
Yeah.
To think, I mean, especially to think a dealership would not know where the master cylinder was. I mean, come on.
Well, they may have some trainee doing it. They may have some kid, some high school kid, and they said, look it, Freddie, open the hood on all these cars and fill up the brake fluid, fill up the power steering.
Sure.
I asked them that, and I said, did you have somebody you were training? And they said, no.
They're going to tell you.
And they told me, no, though, this guy's been here for years. I thought the same
maybe
thing.
Maybe he's been there too many years.
Good luck, Maxine.
All right. Bye-bye.
See you later. Hey, it's time for us to take a little break.
Ah, yes. This is to give our stations a little time to identify themselves.
No, this is to give their janitors time to clean the anti-car talk graffiti off the station's front door.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with some sociological insights in just a moment.
Well, I got a hot rod, baby. You want to go for a ride? Got a hot rod, baby. You want to go for a ride? Got a real cool body, baby, I want to get inside. Well, it's cherry red, show is fine. Straight eight, baby, every inch of it's fine. I got a big hot top, baby, I ain't lying. And when it's hot, it sends chills up your spine. I got a hot rod, baby, you want to go for a ride. Got a hot rod, baby, you want to go for a ride. Got a real cool body, baby, I want to get inside.
And even though the three little pigs wish the big bad wolf would blow down our broadcast tower whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and ethno-sociology.
We actually have touched on this subject in the past, but this one is a little bit more definitive. And it is, you may be Italian.
If. Okay.
And I mean, there are so many of them. I've picked out a few that I thought were especially descriptive or interesting.
And because of our ethnicity, there are no holds barred here.
Of course not. No, I mean, if we were talking about some other ethnic group, we'd have to be careful.
We should have been careful, but
we don't have to even worry about it.
No,
here.
Just go ahead.
Okay, here they are. You spent your entire childhood thinking that what you ate for lunch was pronounced sandwich. You were shocked to discover that the FDA recommends that you eat three meals a day, not seven. You were as tall as your grandmother by the age of seven. I was. You were surprised to find out that wine was actually sold in stores. You always thought that every meal had to be eaten with a hunk of bread in your left hand. That's true. You grew up thinking that no fruit or vegetable had a fixed price, and that price, the price of everything was negotiable through haggling. I remember going shopping with my grandmother, and we'd walk into the store, and she'd pick up like five or six peaches, and the guy would say, 99 cents. 99 cents? What, are you crazy?
Oh, yeah. No, he knew. He inflated the price by 30 cents.
Yeah, right. He said, all right, 88 cents. I'll give you 75 cents.
All
okay.
Right, I'll take it. Well, if you're pining for the Puzzler, you can head over to Puzzler Central on the web, where you can get a classic archival Puzzler every week that the Puzzler's away.
Mm.
Once the Puzzler comes back, of course, that'll be the end of that.
Yeah.
And that's over at cartalk.com. And by the way, if you have a good Puzzler for us, I underline good.
Yeah.
Or anything my brother might want to read, you can send it along to Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
You went too fast here. Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238.
You can also email us from cartalk.com.
But in the meantime, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question about your car or anything else.
Well, you just want to rant about something. We haven't heard a caller rant for a long time.
Yeah, there you go. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mary Jane from Superior, Wisconsin.
Mary Jane?
Yeah.
Superior.
Superior.
I'm not going to guess that it's probably close to the lake, but that's okay.
Good guess. We're right on the lake.
Right on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
What's up, Mary Jane?
What's up? I have a question. I'm hoping you can solve a marital dispute.
Oh, Mary Jane. Of course.
Even though I'm calling you for advice, the more I listen to you, I think you're part of my problem.
Whoops.
Okay, I came home from work last week, and I found a 1-800 number on my kitchen table, and it was your number. This wouldn't strike fear into my heart until I found a list of the kind of car my husband has, the color it is, the year, because he doesn't know cars that much, and he has to write these things down to remember them. And so I have this fear that he called you because he wants to fix this car up.
Oh.
And I'm calling you to help me to get him not to do it.
Oh, so you're trying to undermine the entire operation here before it gets off the ground.
Exactly. And it's getting seriouser as the more serious as the day goes on.
Serious is good.
Serious is good.
What? I don't remember talking to anyone from Superior.
No, we haven't talked to him yet.
He hasn't gotten through yet.
He hasn't gone through yet.
He hasn't. No, I don't. We haven't talked to anyone.
Well, first
Superior.
Of all, what's his name?
Well, his name is Joshua, and I found a loan application on the kitchen table.
Joshua.
Uh-oh.
Loan application.
All right.
Now, let me tell you about his car.
Yeah.
This guy, I married this guy because he's a sensitive, caring artist, and he knows nothing about cars. And
yeah.
I hung out with car guys, like, all my life. So I hooked up with this guy because he didn't know cars.
Yeah.
2 years ago, he bought a 1964 Ford Fairlane, three on the tree, baby blue.
Okay, so we've established that he still doesn't know anything about cars.
He doesn't know anything. The muffler was really loud because it had glass tacks on, and he thought he had to replace the muffler.
Yeah.
So I had to clue him into that. And so now he's, like, got this unnatural attachment to it and wants to take out a loan, soak thousands of dollars into it to fix it up. Now, we live in Superior. We live in a rust belt. It's cold. It's snowy. It's hideous here.
Yeah.
And I keep telling him it's not worth it to do it. So, see, I need you guys to agree with me.
But, Mary Jane, isn't this, don't you see this as just another manifestation of this man's sensitive, caring, artistic nature?
That he wants to take this old car and nurture it.
And
redeem it and somehow
bring it back to life.
Sure.
Give it, infuse new life into it for a measly few thousand dollars.
Yeah, he may be the Albert Schweitzer of the Rust Belt there.
But he doesn't know anything about cars.
So what?
Some Joe Schmo here in Superior to fix it up.
So he's gonna have to send all this work out.
Yes.
Well, unless you help him because you know stuff about why.
You know about three on a tree and glass packs, and that's pretty good.
Hey, pretty good, huh?
Yeah, did you hang out in your youth?
Used car lot.
I hung out in Gardner, Mass in my youth.
Uh-huh.
So I picked all this up.
You did.
I just, you know, we need your help. He shouldn't really do this because it's going to be a ton of money and labor that someone else is going to get all my money.
Well, you know, I remember when my wife and I were first married that we used to do all kinds of things together.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We don't do anything together.
Well,
this is a chance, though.
Yeah, but this is a chance. Exactly right. And as years have gone by, we do less and less together because she hates me.
Yeah. Well, it partly has to do with the things that you do. I mean, it's interesting because it's difficult for a husband and wife.
Well, she didn't like, for example, this year she wouldn't go to the table saw convention with me anymore.
Yeah, and my wife does these knitting things and sewing things.
Well, I'm going to
I don't want any part of it.
Why not?
This is an opportunity for you and your husband
to bond.
Like no one has ever bonded before.
Well, I think that's a great idea. We're taking a welding class together, though.
See that?
You're taking a welding class.
They don't call it Bondo for nothing, do they?
And you'll use that knowledge.
We're bonding with the art.
You'll use that knowledge from welding class to enhance your relationship while you're working on the car.
Okay.
You know, and he says, honey, hand me another bud. I'm working up a sweat running this torch. Or you could say that. Honey, hand me another bud.
I mean, I wish we could be on your side, Mary Jane, but we're not on your side.
You guys are kidding me.
Yeah.
When Joshua gets through, and I know he will now, because
we'll
open the lines, we're going to be all for it.
You know, I can't listen to your show anymore.
Who the hell cares?
That's all right. We lose thousands of listeners every week. What do we worry about? One more?
But I'm your only listener in Superior.
No,
they
I don't
know about you up here yet.
But Joshua has our number. Remember that.
Oh, you guys.
Yeah,
you're breaking my heart.
You are from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how much is he going to spend on this? How much did he spend on this 64 Falcon?
Well, he won't tell me because I'm so irate about this whole situation. He's just kind of like laying low. He doesn't know I found your number.
Well, obviously.
Wait a minute now. You used an expression way back in this conversation. You said he's going to spend all my money fixing up this car.
Did I say my money?
You said that.
That was a Freudian slip of
Does
the first
mean
order.
That you have a job and he doesn't?
No. See, we moved up here to Superior for his job.
Uh-huh.
And he's got all the money.
Which is what?
So he's got all the money. So what are you complaining about?
Because
you're using up all his money.
Was he the captain of the Edmund Fitzgerald or something?
That's what we're in search of. We're in search of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
You are.
No. We moved up here. And see, like, I don't want him to spend the money because it's cold up here. And if I'm going to move up here, I don't want to suffer and be cold and then have this beast in the driveway.
Let's get down to the bottom line here. You hate it in Superior.
I hate it in Superior.
That's what it is. Uh-huh. That's what it is. This car has nothing to do with it. You're ready to go to Florida.
Oh, so this is
Arizona.
The car is just a manifestation of your deep-seated hatred for your husband.
Right. What kind of dreams have you been having?
Vicious dreams.
Because you are holding some serious bad feelings toward poor Josh.
Oh, yeah, you are harboring some ill feelings.
Oh.
Absolutely.
I'm glad this all came out.
No, see, I love the guy. You just have to convince him not to fix his car or to move to Arizona and fix it.
Mm. Well, we have a better chance of getting him to move to Arizona.
Arizona wouldn't be a bad idea.
Wouldn't it?
No, that would be a compromise that you could live. He can keep the car.
He can keep the car.
But as long as you get out of
Superior.
Superior.
Yeah.
Because the winters are interminable.
I think that's fair.
Okay.
We'll talk to him.
You will.
We will.
We'll try to get a hold of him.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And if he hasn't gotten this yet, tell him to keep trying. Well, you can't encourage him to keep trying, but you should drop some subtle hints.
Yeah. Like leave the 1-800
Leave the 800 number around, Have it tattooed on your forehead.
Application.
If it doesn't work out, we can give you the number of our law firm that does divorces.
Do we tune him in how?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
See you, Mary Jane.
Thanks, Mary Jane.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for all your help.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad we probed into that because there was some deep-seated resentment that she was hiding.
Absolutely.
I love the guy. My foot.
Yeah, my foot. She hates it up there.
She hates him, and she hates Superior, and she hates the car.
And the dog, too.
And the horse that rode in on it.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Barry from San Quentin, California.
Really?
Really?
Hi, Barry.
What, San Quentin is a city or you're incarcerated?
No, it's actually a small town and right outside the prison gates.
Right.
Get out.
Yeah.
Well, that must make for interesting conversation at parties. Where are you from, San Quentin?
Yeah. I spent 20 years in San Quentin. Anyway, what's going on, Barry?
Well, I need some help in choosing what kind of car to buy. I work for an agency, and we work with prisoners and their families.
Uh-huh.
And we just got a grant to buy a car. And this is for staff. We pick guys up at the gate and take them everywhere from their parole office to housing services to medical appointments, and we work with them in the community after they're released from custody.
And so the purpose of this vehicle would be for you or someone like you to pick
Correct.
Up one guy at a time and take him around somewhere. Is that true?
That's correct.
And it would usually be only two people in the car and going short distances in town?
Well, it's actually we have quite a bit of a target area here. They're picking up at the prison and then going anywhere from across the bridge, San Francisco, to down to San Jose.
Oh.
So I'd say on average, it could be up to 100 miles a day.
Okay, and you're not worried that any of these people is dangerous?
No. We'd only start working with them, you know, as far as the car is concerned, once they're out.
Once they're out, okay. Sure.
All right.
Oh, how much money were you allocated?
$19,000.
Perfect.
Wonderful.
Now, wait a minute. Here's the most important question.
Send that to us.
Can you use the car on weekends? I mean, I know it's going to say for official use only and all that, but, I mean, who's going to be, you know?
Well, you know, actually, I mean, the whole, you know, our whole method of working is to make it work for the people, you know. So if they need to have an appointment on Saturday, we'll be there on Saturday.
Right, but if they weren't, then you wanted to go, like, to the mountains.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want something that could make it all the way to, like, Tahoe.
Absolutely.
And would it be important that it be convertible?
See, well, you...
No.
And they want to buy a new car, obviously.
Well, not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
We just want a car that's gonna last us a long time.
Jeez, for $19,000, you can buy a Ford Crown Victoria.
Well, then we have to deal with parking, like in downtown San Francisco.
Too big. It's too big.
Right.
You don't need big, right?
No.
Well, I mean, you're not going to fill this car up with six people.
No, I would say maximum would be four.
I would want, what's wrong with a Camry?
Camry's all right.
Camry's great.
Well, you know what's even better? A van.
You don't need a van. This is one person and
Sometimes as many as four.
Are you talking like a camper van?
Now you're talking, huh, Barry? A camper van. Wait a minute.
My
I'm trying to help Barry out.
No,
he wants a camper van.
You might
need a stove. These guys get hungry. You need the camper van with the stove. the refrigerator, the TV, the whole thing, the pop top, all big, tall guys. I think you need a camper van.
He needs a little
car. He doesn't want a little car. He's never going to make it to Tahoe with a little car. He wants a camper van. You're not listening.
That's a tough choice.
He's not going to Tahoe. He's not going to Tahoe. He's driving a guy to the little store to buy himself some clothes.
But on Saturdays, he's going to go to Tahoe.
It's illegal to go to Tahoe with the company car.
What do you have your eye on? What would you think would be the ideal vehicle?
Well, you know, I mean, my priority is really just something that's going to hold out for a long time. So I was thinking Toyota.
Yeah, Toyota. You can't beat a Toyota Camry.
Yeah, I mean, one thing you don't want is troubles with the vehicle. You know, you don't want to have to bring it in to be fixed all the time. And you'll be thrilled at what you can get for $19,000.
Well, and that's, I'm looking to be thrilled.
Yeah.
I thank you very much.
Hey, Barry.
And you're doing good work, too.
Hey, thanks for calling, Barry.
See you, Barry.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
He's going to get the camper van. He's got that's
with the stove and the pop top.
Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, bongo boy, frog man.
Pumpkin lips.
Pumpkin lips Berman. Our associate producers are David, the Calves of Belleville Green, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Greater Lowell Grilled Sole, Escarole, Pasta Fajol, Profiterole, and Tootsie Roll Supper Stroll, is John Bugsy Lawler.
Yes, where is he, by the way?
He's arriving momentarily. Oh. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our transgender studies expert is Ben Hur. Our layoff counselor is Harry Verderci. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Royal Payne Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group, of course, is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the pigeons on cell phones in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and of course, don't drive like my brother.
And of course, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1331, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, the Green Car Buying Guide.
Green as in, you know, environmentally friendly, or not as in olive or celadon, you know?
Yeah, green cars, reviews, rankings, rebates, incentives, next year's hybrids, everything you want to know.
Wow, sounds useful.
It is.
Informative.
That too.
So where'd we steal it from? Clearly we didn't come up with it.
No, it was created by our pals at cars.com, but it's interesting and useful, and you can see it all this week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Robert Siegel wonders if he can get his old paper route back whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.